For the last so many years, we've been wanting 4th of July fireworks. Last year, we watched Del Lago. Of course, they had to cancel because of the winds. There was no 4th of July there. The year before that, we went to Benson. It wasn't really any good. The year before that, they canceled Benson's 4th of July because of the rain. So this year, we had a mission. Dun, dun, da, da, dun. We're going to find the best 4th of July fireworks that we could possibly find. So we asked everybody. And it wasn't until Thursday, I was getting my ears lowered, and this lady who was cutting my hair, she said, where are you going for 4th of July? I said, I want to find the best place to go to 4th of July. I got to find the best place, or else my family is going to crucify me. Because they have, they want to go to see 4th of July. What do you want? I want booming fireworks. I want to be able to see them. I want to taste them. I want to smell them. I want them to just really fill my body. She said, you got to go to Patagonia. I said, where? She said, Patagonia, you got to go to Patagonia. So we picked up the family. We went to Patagonia. They've got this small little town square. They had the people with this little band. They were playing, you know, they had all this different kind of food. We got out, we played some frisbee, and then we went up to the lake and had dinner. And then we came back to Patagonia High School and sat down and waited for the fireworks. Now, I don't know if you've been to fireworks in Patagonia, but they don't shoot them up very high. And these fireworks just explode right in front of your face. And so the first fireworks went off, and it's like they shot them off right over the crowd, and boom, and it echoed, and all the car alarms went off, and I said, yes, this is it, this is what I want, and it boom, 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 and you could just feel it shaking in your body. If you guys are looking for the firework experience of life, go to Patagonia. That's the place to go. I was so excited, but I'm sitting here watching these fireworks explode, and I'm thinking to myself, how in the world do they know when to explode the firework? I mean, because if that thing goes off too soon, we're toast. And if it goes off too late, we're toast. But it seemed like almost every time, with one exception, there's one that kind of went up and exploded, and it was like, oh! But most of the time, it went up to the very top and exploded at the very top of the arc, and it's almost like I had it perfectly timed. So, you know, my mind, I can't get on this. So yesterday, I got on the internet and found out how fireworks are made. And what's really cool is that fireworks are shot out of a mortar tube. It's typically about 3 inches. They stick it in the sand, and you've got this firework, and it's actually consists of two parts. The bottom charge is called the lifting charge, and it's basically gunpowder, okay? And the gunpowder sits on top of the firework, and the whole thing's wrapped up, and you stick it in the mortar tube, and you light the fuse, and the fuse goes down into the mortar tube. It explodes the lifting charge, which creates a lot of compressed natural gas, which pops this thing way up into the sky. But at the same time, the lifting charge is also igniting the firework, which has got about a 2.5-second fuse. So it's going up, the 2.5-second fuse is going, and it gets to the top, and boom, you got the fireworks, right? Now, if it doesn't go off, then you got a dud. And the dud comes back down, and you've got to douse the dud with water. Or if the dud doesn't even go off, then you've got to douse it with water, because the last thing you want is a nearly live firework sitting there that you don't know what's going to happen. Now, all of you are looking at me saying, now, what in the world does fireworks have to do with Acts 2? Well, today we're studying Acts 2. Because we're going through the book of Acts, and of course, Acts 2 is the famous coming of the Holy Spirit. And I would propose to you today that this activity in Acts 2, this coming of the Holy Spirit, was kind of like a big firework display. How's that for a tie-in? It was like a big fireworks display. Just listen to what they had. The day of Pentecost came, and they were all together in one place, these are the disciples, and suddenly a sound like a violent wind came from heaven, and the whole house where they were sitting was filled with it. I mean, that's like the lifting up of the firework, right? With all the noise, right? And then they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. It's like fireworks. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And in Patagonia, we had different languages. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in their own language. They were utterly amazed. They asked, how can we hear this with our own language? And then we get back to the verse 13 at the end of this. And it says, some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. And we had that in Patagonia too. Except it was more like tequila or cerveza. And they were dancing around, having a good time. But, I mean, to think about it, it was like a big fireworks party that they had. I mean, they were there, and all of a sudden, boom, in came this incredible Holy Spirit. And the people noticed it. I mean, they had to have noticed it because it was such an amazing thing. All the people around said, whoa, what's going on? Have they had too much wine? What's going on? And then Peter gets up. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit now, gets up and preaches his first sermon, the Pentecost sermon. And we won't go through the sermon because it's rather long. And Peter gets up there, and what happens, we find out at the end, is that 3,000 people repented and were baptized that day from that sermon. Man, that is the work of the Holy Spirit, I tell you. The question I want to ask you today is the Holy Spirit still alive today? And if the Holy Spirit is alive today, is the Holy Spirit alive and working in your life? Is it working in this church? Because folks, we look at the Holy Spirit and what he did in Acts 2 and we say, wow, that was great. It was this big fireworks display. But are you being a firework for God? Or are you just being a dud? Are you just sitting there? We've got a lot of big plans for Christ Lutheran Vale. God has a lot of big plans in your life. And you can't go through life without the Holy Spirit. You can't let God direct your life without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to exist in your life. And today I want to tell you, is the Holy Spirit in your life? Is the Holy Spirit living and directing who you are? Do you get up in the morning and the Holy Spirit guides you? Do you go to bed at night and the Holy Spirit is guiding you? Because the Holy Spirit needs to be in your life. The Holy Spirit needs to be in your life. When I look at Acts 2 and I look at all the things that the Holy Spirit did in the disciples' life, I'm so amazed. I mean, think about the thinking of the tongues on their head and all the things going on. And we say, yes, of course the Holy Spirit was there. We know that. But how many times have you seen tongues of fire in somebody's head? How many times have you heard the rushing of the wind? And so you might wonder in your own life, is the Holy Spirit there? Do I got that little Holy Spirit in my life? The Holy Spirit needs to be in your life. When the Holy Spirit is in your life, he lifts you up and you explode and you shine and people take notice of the effect of the Holy Spirit in your life. But if the Holy Spirit isn't your life, you stay in that 3-inch mortar tube and they have to come and throw water on you. Is the Holy Spirit in your life? It's a tough question because today we don't have the tongues of fire. Today we don't have all the things that happened at the first century Acts church. And so you might think to yourself, maybe the Holy Spirit's gone. Maybe the Holy Spirit isn't here anymore. Maybe he was there at Acts 2, but he's gone. I remember when I was in high school, I had a friend of mine, and he said that the Holy Spirit was so powerful in his life that he spoke in tongues. And I'd never spoken in tongues. I thought God was working in my life, but I wasn't there. And I was depressed. As God, let me speak in tongues. I want to speak in tongues. Please. Never happened. Is God working in my life? Is God working in your life? Is the Holy Spirit still here today? Because without the Holy Spirit, we're nothing. We're a dud. We're sitting in the mortar. Waiting. With the Holy Spirit, it's everything. I want to go to the end of Acts, actually. I want to take a look at Acts 2, chapter 37. When the people heard this, which is Peter's sermon, they were cut to the heart. And what did Peter preach on? He preached on simply this, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, you thought he was dead, you thought he killed him, but he came back and he lived among us and he has power over death and victory over the grave, and that's Jesus, and if you want to, you can follow him. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? In some version, it's brothers, what does this mean? Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, what? For the forgiveness of sins. And what happens? You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You see, there's not little bits and pieces that God works in your life. It's not like, well, you're going to take this step and then God gives you more, and you take this step and God gives you more. It may seem like that to you, but when God forms a baby in the womb, even if it's a tiny baby, you know what? It's got everything it needs for life right there. Everything it needs. And when you become a child of God, you have everything that you need to become a child of God. You've got all these things that Peter talked about. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. You will have forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the promise isn't only for you, but it's for your children and for all who are far off and for all whom the Lord our God will call. When you become a child of God, you have it all. It means you've got this lifting charge attached to you, and God is going to do amazing things in your life. And some of you are like big firecrackers. You go up into the air and you make these big, bright lights. But some of you are like firecrackers that just go up and make a big noise. You don't really see much, but man, you have a huge impact. Some of you are short-fused, some of you are long-fused. But each one of you are a firecracker for God. How's that for an analogy? Each one of you are a firecracker for God, because God has bought and purchased you through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, and He lives inside each and every one of you. And when you become a child of God, when you've been baptized, when the Holy Spirit comes inside your life, when you receive that forgiveness of sins, He's going to work with you, He's going to love you, and He's going to be part of your life, your whole entire life. I became baptized, actually, in the summer between my 6th and 7th grade of grade school. I did not grow up in the church. I hadn't been baptized, so between 6th and 7th grade, I was baptized. And in my backyard, my pastor came and dunked me in the pool because I was an older kid and we had a pool. So we did it that way. And I didn't really feel a whole lot different. I mean, I knew that God was working in my life. But, I mean, I didn't see tongues of fire. I didn't start speaking in tongues. I didn't hear a big violent wind or anything like that. But I knew that God came inside me. I knew that He was working inside my life. I knew that He was there, glowing inside me. And each year, as I studied His Scripture and learned more about God, my strength of my faith grew and grew. Then I was confirmed and said, yes, I am absolutely identified with Jesus Christ. I want Him to be a part of my life. But even then, I continued to grow and grow in my faith. And my faith journey has been growing in faith ever since that point. And it's not anything that I do. It's a work that God does inside of me. Each one of you has God working inside of you. Each one of you has that Holy Spirit guiding and directing you. Each one of you has that lifting charge with the Holy Spirit lifting you high to do great things in the kingdom of God. As we join together as a church, let us not forget that we've been forgiven by Jesus, that we've been baptized, and that He lives inside of us, and He wants to do great things, just as great as the early church. In Jesus' name, amen.